why even low levels of air pollution can be bad for older people. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. Getting exposed every day to certain kinds of air pollution can lead to a higher risk of premature death if you're over 65. Francesca Domenici is an author of the study in the Journal of the American Medical Association. She spoke with us by Skype. She and her team studied daily exposure to ozone pollution and fine particulate matter. Those are tiny particles that can lodge deep in your lungs.
So, for example, if you experience a small change in fine particulate matter from yesterday to today, we see an increase in the daily mortality risk on the following day from this increase in exposures.
She says they found that to hold true for even low levels of air pollution below current national standards.
We're learning that by breathing this small level of fine particulate matter, they penetrate deep into the lung and activate all series of inflammation processes that can affect both our cardiovascular system and our respiratory system.
She says it's good for doctors to be aware of these risks, but she says it also highlights the role our government plays in continuing to reduce air pollution. This is the Environment Report. Streams can tell us a lot about the health of an ecosystem, but some researchers say we can do a better job paying attention to those streams. Jay Zarnetsky is an assistant professor in the Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences at Michigan State University. Thanks for talking with me.
Great to talk with you.
Why should we be monitoring streams?
Do a better job monitoring streams because most nutrients and pollutants enter our waterways upstream of large rivers in those headwaters, the smallest streams. So diagnosing problems in large rivers, where we typically monitor and our rules and regulations are imposed, requires actually studying those small streams. So instead of our standard water monitoring process of standing in a large stream far from the headwaters and observing how water flows past us through time, our new methods are illustrating that it's very informative to periodically travel around the watershed, see what's going on, grab samples from all those stream sizes, from the smallest to the largest.
What would you say are the most important things that streams can tell us about the health of a particular ecosystem?
They're excellent sensors of the landscape and the health of our landscapes because they collect and integrate what is occurring on the landscape around them. The real challenge for us is deciphering what that signal is that we see in the stream chemistry. You know, so much like when we get sick as people and we go to the doctor, they take a blood sample, right? That's one of the first things that they do. And in that blood sample, we see indications of different issues that might be causing us to not feel great. But more importantly, it tells the doctor where to target their next test and where the problem might be arising in the body. And so that's what we're seeking to do with some of our new methods that we recently published is say, where can we most effectively address the root cause of these water quality issues?
And you studied streams in France over a time period of 12 years. How do your findings there relate to the Great Lakes region?
Yeah, it's remarkable, the similarities between these watersheds and most of our upper Midwestern watersheds. They're predominantly covered with agricultural land use, dairy, corn, wheat, and consequently they share similar water quality issues associated with those nutrient pollutions. So their streams, their lakes, and their coastlines are also suffering in similar ways that we see throughout much of the Midwestern United States.
Jay Zarnetsky is an assistant professor in the Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences at Michigan State University. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And a pleasure.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.